Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this wonderful day of worship, for a day of teaching. And we just pray, Lord, that over this series, Lord, on unity in the church, that we would draw close to one another, draw close to you, that we could understand what it is that you desire of us, and we can enter into this relationship we call the church, the kingdom of God, that we might experience your joy, your blessing, your love through our brothers and sisters. Maybe we don't think we can be that encouragement, but Lord, we can in you, Lord. We all have your spirit within us. And I pray that you would just guide our time of study right now by your power. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Well, we're starting a new series this morning. It is in Ephesians chapter 4, and the series is called One. And we're going to be talking over the next 6 weeks about unity in the church. As I was praying, I really felt that this is what God wanted us to dive into, because I think there's a lot of ideas about what unity should be. And so the Bible has a lot to say, and I think that we should be clear on it. You know, as a nation, we are divided. We are divided morally, politically, religiously, scientifically, you name it. Unless you've been hiding under a rock somewhere, anybody been living under a rock? I don't know. Don't want to offend if you've been living under a rock, but unless you have, that's not a surprise to you that there is division in our country. Now, the question is, as believers in Jesus Christ, what are we to make of this conflict? What is the role of a follower of Jesus Christ in the United States of America, in Hawaii? What is the role of Jesus in this world as we see this conflict, as we see division going on around us? How are we to respond? Jesus made two statements. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are the, what? Blessed are the peacemakers, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. You know what he said 5 chapters later? He said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword to divide mother and father, brother and sister, right? One's enemies will come from his own family. Now, how can Jesus say that? Isn't that contradictory? How could Jesus on one hand say, blessed are the peacemakers, peace. Oh, that sounds like Jesus, good. I came to bring a sword. What? Jesus, make up your mind, right? Can you imagine the people listening to him? We go, but 5 chapters ago, and this has been a long sermon, by the way, sitting out here on this grassy hill, but what's going on? Why? Why division? What's going on? Well, unity, for the sake of unity, is not always good. I think that we can unify in anger, we can unify in wrong and destructive belief systems. In fact, Germany, in the early part of the 20th century, united under this Nazism, this kind of white superiority, right? They believed the white race was superior to other races. And this was based on the idea of Darwinism, or this that we evolved in different places in different areas. And so we were different races. And the higher and the further along on that evolutionary scale, or more highly evolved you were, the lighter your skin got. And so that was a belief. And so they swallowed this belief whole. And with some other beliefs, basically they started to persecute people, killed 6 million Jews. Many, many people died in this war. And the Bible says, it contradicts what Darwin taught. It says that we're all one race. Did you know that? So using the word race isn't scientifically even correct. We're one race. Why? Because we all have one set of parents, Adam and Eve. I don't care what you look like, how sharp your nose is, how flat your nose is, how light-skinned you are, how dark-skinned you are. We all are related somewhere way down the line. We all come from Adam and Eve. Amen? So he goes, like, really? It's like, yeah, we're all related. So we ought to get used to each other, right? Thinking that everybody should be just able to get along. Why can't we just all get along, right? I wish my granddaughter didn't have to grow up and find out that life is not just all rainbows and unicorns. That we can just all get along. Why? Why is it so hard? Well, for one thing, we all need a standard. If we're all going to get along, we all need to agree on a standard of right and wrong, right? A standard that would govern society. And you know, that there would have to be some standard of decency, right? That we don't cross over. And then we could have small disagreements, but we would agree on the big things. And then since we'd all hold to the standard, we generally would have peace. You know, there would be love, and the standard would talk about peace and love and these things and would promote good things. And so we'd treat each other as we would want to be treated. Wouldn't that be a good idea to have a standard like that? Does that sound like anything that you know about? I mean, there was this book, you know. Anybody know what that book was called? Really? The Bible? Come on, Bible students. So, maybe you guys need to sign up for my class. So, this is what happens when we have no standard. We throw the standard out, and then everybody does what's right in their own eyes, like we looked in the period of Judges. Everybody just does whatever is right in their own eyes. And so, the morality, right and wrong, is a moving target, right? What you believe is different than what this person believes, is different than what that person believes. And that's why we have what we have today. That's why we have the chaos. And that's why we have so much division. Back then, 97% of America said they were Christian. Today, you're lucky if you get 75. And even on those 75%, many people that say they're Christian, a lot of them don't believe what the Bible says. And then we can understand, well, if we've left that standard of morality, yeah, it's kind of hard to have unity. Let's take a look at what Ephesians says. We're going to look at the first three verses. And the English Standard Version is what we're using. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul speaking, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Notice that. If you want to underline that in your Bible, unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, or highlight that in Bible Gateway, whatever you're using. And then circle humility, gentleness, and patience. Because God knows we need that. Amen. Anybody need patience? Anybody ever pray for patience? Anybody ever get what they were praying for? Because you know how you get patience, right? You get tested. Oh, Lord, give me patience. Okay. Well, you're going to have an interesting day tomorrow. But we need patience. So what is this unity in the Spirit, right? Every believer, we all have the Spirit of Christ within us, yes? When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, and when we believe, we have faith in him that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again from the dead, so we have the Spirit of God within us. So we're all connected. We're all a spiritual family. That's how this starts. And we got to get along with each other. And so it's interesting. You ever been out and you don't feel real spiritual? Or you do something real. Have you ever been out and maybe somebody in public or at work and somebody makes you angry? And you just don't fully snap, you just like half snap. You know what I mean? You don't just get all cathartic. You just kind of half snap. You just like, ah! And then you think about how you just acted and you're like, you're supposed to be a Christian. And don't you just want to crawl under the chair, if there was a chair for you to crawl under, like looking, is there something I can crawl under right now? Because I just really embarrassed myself and the Lord. And oh boy, and you feel bad, right? But we're called to have a spirit of unity. And the Spirit of God gives us gentleness, gives us humility, gives us patience. It's through the Spirit. But if we're in the flesh, then we can get angry, right? We let anger guide us, and we let the flesh guide us, and we're not walking in Christ. But if we're walking in the Spirit, then we have humility, gentleness, patience, and love, right? It's not just Sunday morning. Love you, brother. Just, we don't want to flip back and forth. We want to be the same, right? There's got to be a unity in us before we even have unity in the body. Amen? We've got to be a unity. We can't just be, oh, I'm going to walk in the flesh, walk in the spirit, walk in the flesh, walk in the spirit, walk in the flesh. It's like, hopefully walking in the flesh gets less and less, and walking in the spirit gets more and more. So that's one of the things. Now, what is the purpose of unity? Why do we have to get along at all, really, seriously? Why do we even have to get along? Why can't we just do our own thing? Well, Jesus actually gives us the purpose in Jesus' priestly prayer in the Gospel of John in chapter 17. He says this, I do not ask for these, he's praying to the Father in heaven, I do not ask for these only, speaking about his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that what? You sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. What is the purpose of unity in the church? That the world may know that Jesus came from heaven, that he is legit, he is the real deal, and the gospel is our hope. Our greatest tool to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ is unity in the church. Now, you might, but that doesn't make sense because mathematically, I mean, if we're going to add to church, then we got to evangelize and we got to get the gospel out and we got to get our apologetics in order and I got to be able to answer objections and questions and I got to do this and I got to do that and we got to go out and witness and those are all good things. But Jesus is saying, if we're one, the world's going to know. Because the world looks around for unity. Hey, man, is anybody united? I mean, except the Nazis over there. I mean, they're all united. Ugh. Right? But is anybody united in love? Does anybody have a right kind of unity? Right? You can stir a bunch of people up and get a bunch of angry people following you. You know? All you got to do is throw a bunch of cats and dogs together and you can have a fight, you know? But it takes something special. It takes the Spirit of God and all of us bowing to him and saying, Lord, I submit to you. All of us surrendering to him. When we surrender, then we also surrender to one another and we love one another. That's how that works. It's our greatest witnessing tool. And it's also the hardest thing to accomplish. Is it not? What should unity in the church look like? There's three words up there, right? What are they? Humility and what? It was on the last slide. Humility, patient, right? Humility, gentleness, gentle, and patient. Sometimes we don't want to be gentle, right? Sometimes we're going to be, right? It's not gentle. But like Ross was saying, let's not get all angry and get all bent out of shape. Get ourselves all wrapped around the axle, so to speak. Let us stop, think, pray, and react in a way that will blow people's minds. love people regardless of how they treat you. It blows people's minds away. What is even more, when they see a bunch of churches getting along, they'll be like, oh, wow, maybe that is real. But when people see division, you know, yeah, those guys don't have it together any more than we do. True. I mean, we're imperfect, right? We're imperfect people. Now, what does unity look like? Unity is not uniformity. Did you know that? Doesn't mean that we're all under the same flag except the banner of Jesus, right? But it doesn't mean that we all have to look the same. We all have to be under the same organization. We all have to be under the same banner. That's the problem with that's what the Catholic Church, where the problem that they've been having is they've been trying to keep everybody, okay, everybody's got to be Catholic. We've all got to be in the same church. We've all got to be in the same organization. There's a problem with that. It's called the flesh. This is how Charles Spurgeon put it. He said this, and this is well over 100 years ago. It is not a desirable thing that all churches should melt into one another and become one, for the complete fusion of all churches into one ecclesiastical corporation would inevitably produce another form of popery. That's how they used to say Catholic Church. Since history teaches us that large ecclesiastical bodies grow more or less corrupt as a matter of course, huge spiritual corporations are, as a whole, the strongholds of tyranny and the refuge of abuse, and it is only a matter of time when they shall break up. Disruption, secession must occur and will occur where unity is attempted, which is not sanctioned in God's word. What's he saying? He's not saying you shouldn't have denominations. We're part of a denomination. He's not saying you shouldn't organize. Organize is good. Somebody said, I don't believe in organized religion. So you believe in disorganized religion? I don't know. But what's he saying there? He's saying that when we artificially try in the flesh to unify everybody, it's not something God is doing. We're trying to do it so we can feel, oh, strength in numbers. That's the world's way. That's the way they do it. The world's like, yeah, look how many people we got behind us. Look how many petitions we got signed. Like, it's numbers. It's numbers. We're going to win this. That's how the devil works. We don't need that. All we need is the Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit allows me to be connected with my brothers and sisters throughout the world, beyond space and time. Did you know that you are a brother and a sister in Christ presently? Even to Charles Spurgeon, he's home in heaven, but we're still brothers and sisters in the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Why? Time, space, doesn't matter. I mean, he's enjoying life, I'm sure, really well. But we're still here. And then we're connected around the world. I got brothers and sisters in the Philippines. Love Jesus. I'll go down. I don't speak Tagalog. I don't speak any of the sign. But I'm down there and I'm worshiping with them. And I go, I don't know what those words are to that song, but I feel the Spirit of God. Amen? And you can feel the Spirit moving. I was listening to a guy, a brother, he was from Brazil. And he was singing this Brazilian song that he sang. And I'm like, I don't know a lick of what he's saying, but I can feel the Spirit move. And when the longer you know the Lord, you know the difference between the Spirit moving and the, you know, the just getting excited at your favorite concert feeling. Here's the difference. And because it's that same feeling that when you walk up to somebody, you don't know from Adam and go, are you a Christian? And you go, yeah, do you know? There's a witness of the Spirit. You see, when we walk in the Spirit, we can recognize people in the Spirit. It's not a spooky thing. We all have it. But if you pay attention and you look, there's just something. And you can explain it, right? Has that happened to you? How many of you guys? Has that happened to you? Amen? You just know. I'm not saying it's going to happen all the time because, hey, brothers and sisters, we get in the flesh, right? And so you might see somebody really not their best. Maybe somebody's seeing you not their best. But we don't all have to be the same. And this is one of my points. Sorry, I didn't put all these points on the screen. I didn't want to focus so much on the screen. But if you want to write something down, write this. Different is not separate. Different is not separate. In other words, we're not separated from the body of Christ. We're still in unity, even if we look different, we're in different places. Look around you for a moment. Just look at your neighbor, look around. You know something? You know, something different? Different? Some of us have, some of you get different nationalities, right? Different people groups, right? Some of us get Haole, right? We get the light skin, Puerto Rican, Portuguese, right? Filipino. It's like, come on, woo! It's like, right? We're all different. We're all different, right? But you know what? Turn to each other and say, you're beautiful in God's eyes. Do it. You're beautiful in God's eyes. Amen. Now, if we can do that with each other, why can't we do that with all the churches on the island? Let me tell you something. I love Calvary Chapel. I love Ark of Safety. I love New Hope. I love Inspire. I love Freedom Church down the street. I got a friend, Charles, now at Calvary. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? Because we are all under the same banner of love. Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah is my banner. God's my banner. It doesn't matter what the name of our church is. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter. Maybe we worship. I know we're not the most emotionally expressive bunch. And people go, hey, our Pentecostal denomination. Let me say, Pentecostal, wow. I'm going to go check that out. Go, okay. It's like people aren't swaying in sync. Every hand isn't raised. What's going on? Right? Some of the guys in the back of the aisle are like, yeah, everybody's, you know. I don't know. We're a collective group. But the thing is that we all worship in different ways. We might be like that. Another congregation, man, they're real expressive. Some congregations, not as. It doesn't matter. Oh, man, I don't like those songs. I like these songs. Whatever. I love hymns. I love hymns. How great they are. You guys love that, right? Hymns are great. Hymns have scripture in them. I love hill songs, elevation, worship. I love that stuff. Why? Sure, I have my favorites, but you know what? I can sit in an old church with nothing but hymns, pick that hymnal up out of the back, and a little pencil, you know, a golf pencil there, you know, with my tithe, and I can worship the Lord. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the same there. Anywhere in the world, anywhere in this island. And so how dare we, any of us, raise our head higher? Our church is better than this church. Really? Now we know better than that, right? But when you hear in a conversation, you know, again, you know, we can say our preferences and stuff, but you know what? Pray. Let's not talk about each other. Let's pray for each other. Amen. Because you know what? Being a pastor is hard. Being a church is hard because the prince of this world doesn't want us here. The devil's united. He's organized. So shouldn't we be organized too? Amen? But the best way we can organize, let's not try and get everybody all together, all be the same. No. Hey, man, it's like 31 flavors. Sometimes I want vanilla. Sometimes I want strawberry. I don't know. Every church is going to be a different flavor, but the thing is we're all one under Christ. And when we get that through our minds, get that through our heads, let us not major in the minors. We'll talk more about doctrine later. But we need to focus on that, and we need to pray for one another that we would be of one heart, of one spirit, and that's how we're bonded in peace. That's how we're bonded by the Spirit of God. Amen? The other thing, not only the Spirit, but the Bible is the Word of God. You know what the Bible is? The Bible is the words of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? It's the words of the Holy Spirit. As given, it says that the Spirit carried upon the writers. The Spirit of God inspired the writers. The writers aren't inspired like, ooh, I'm inspired, I'm going to write a song. That's not what that means. Inspired as in the Holy Spirit moved upon them. And so I want you to write this down. And yeah, their own personality and some of Paul, you can see his sarcasm and everything is in there. But these are the words of God. They are approved by the Holy Spirit, and they're given to the apostles and the prophets to write down for us thousands of years later. This thing was written down beginning in 1400 BC. That's a long time. And we've had it for 2,000 years. It's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to know what the Spirit is saying to the church, first get into his word. And then he will confirm what is in his word in your heart. Amen? The Spirit of God and the Word of God is what unifies us. Not the brand, not the name, not the slogan, not the worship. None of that. None of that unifies us. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen? It got real quiet. You guys are putting on your thinking caps like, Is it important what we believe? Sure. Sure. But I am thankful that I'm not like this guy or like another guy, that God has made us all various, gives us all various gifts, has made us all different, made us preach different, made us worship differently. Why? Because we can reach more people that way. God knows what he's doing. Sometimes we think, we know what we're doing, and then we try to organize and it doesn't work, but then God pours out his Spirit, and somehow it just works. Like the unity thing. That makes no sense. Okay, we all get along and love each other. What is that going to do? It's going to do a lot because people are looking in on us from the outside going, what are those guys over there doing? Wow, those guys really love each other. Wouldn't you want to be part of a group like that? That, ladies and gentlemen, is the purpose of unity. I want to close down with a word of prayer. Would you join me? Father God, we come before you. We bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful church that you have given us. Lord, it's from you. We each love you. We come from different backgrounds, different influences, and yet, Lord, we can all come together and just love one another, even share with one another, encourage one another. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving us family. And I just pray, Lord, for those that are struggling. And I pray for those, Lord, in the churches here in the islands that are struggling, Lord God. And you know, they've got strife and they've got things going on. And it's so hard. God, would you just give them your peace? Would you give them your joy? Lord, we just lift up to you, Lord, Calvary Chapel. We lift up to you, New Hope and Hope Chapel. We lift up to you, Freedom Church down the street here, Lord. Word of Life over there, Lord. We lift up to you, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, God, that your Spirit would be poured out upon them, that you would bless them, that they would grow, Lord God, that people in the neighborhoods in Kapolei and Evabeach and Waipahu and the surrounding areas, Lord, would know that you are God. And Lord, that you would give us a love for each other, God. And when we see each other in the marketplace, when we see each other in passing, and how we love each other and how we treat each other and how we talk about each other, oh God, would just blow people's minds. And they would know that we are one. Pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Everybody said, God bless you guys. You have a great week.